The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
And now, nationally recognized financial experts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean of Hanson McLean Advisors. It's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us this weekend.
Right. Glad you are here with us on this September 26th weekend. Both myself and my co-host here, Pat, we're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself, helping them plan their financial futures. And we come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And as a matter of fact, you can get us on the air on this program, at this radio station at this time, or our podcast at moneymatters.com and listen to this program. But that's what we're here every week to help you with your financial matters. And we got a great program lined up for you. Going to talk a little bit about the 4% withdrawal rule for retirees. Wait, now that sounds boring.
But Scott, can't they don't we have an iTunes deal now too, where they can
get iTunes? Oh yeah, it's iTunes.
Okay, I'm serious. I don't know. I don't have it. I don't listen to my show very often. Although I did recently. I don't know why.
I've got it right on mine. I've got it delivers on my phone every week from iTunes.
So is it our own app or is it iTunes app?
No, it's either one. But this is iTunes.
And so it just moves that.
All right, look at, for crying out loud.
I don't know anything about how this works, although I do like Netflix.
You've got podcasts, a little icon, little, okay. What do you call that?
Little
app.
App, okay.
Podcast.
With the old guys talking about technology.
And there's our pictures. Look
oh,
at that.
Oh, got it.
And you just, right there, I have 28 podcasts.
You listen to your own show?
Heck no, this show's terrible. No, I don't listen to my own program unless, no, not typically, but it was me. I don't listen to my, how many people record themselves so they can hear themselves talk again?
I don't know.
I do remember years ago.
List of politicians?
Years ago, I remember years ago, Pat, we did a, I think we did a workshop somewhere. There was some weekend symposium. We were the guest speakers. And there was a woman who came, because we've been doing this program for 20 years. This woman came up afterwards, very soft-spoken woman, and said how much she listened to our program. And she would listen to it two or three times each week. I said, the same program? Yes, in case I missed something the first time. I listened to it a second or third time. And I slowly backed away. Whoa. So I hope you enjoy the program.
Yes.
Not to the point of listening two or three times. But
anyway. But the podcast makes it easy if you're so inclined.
Yeah, a couple of things I want to talk about, though.
The 4% rule.
You know, when it's coming out of my mouth, I'm like, that's kind of a narrow topic. We may or may not get to doing this program for about retirement stuff. But there's a couple of studies that I did find interesting.
Why don't we start with the premise of the 4% rule? Just so that, just.
No. changed my mind.
Okay, we're not.
No. Not going to talk about it. We might talk about it, and if we talk about it, it'll be later in the program.
When we run out of all the other good stuff.
You'll just have to stay tuned and see what we talk about. Now, this was a study that, and I was actually surprised at this. This Harris Interactive did this study. Only 51% of Americans use their eligible paid vacation time each year. So roughly half, which means half of Americans don't take all of their vacation every year.
And their paid vacation.
Their paid vacation. Half of Americans don't take their paid vacation. Almost half the Americans don't take all their paid vacation every year.
Well, my guess is half of Americans don't have paid vacation.
No. These were eligible paid. That's why.
Well, correct. No, I get it. So 51% of those people that have paid vacation don't use the benefits that are offered to them by their benevolent employer.
Benevolent, yeah. And those that do, 61% of them do some sort of work while they're on vacation.
I get that. I can understand that.
So here's what I started thinking. Here's what I found interesting about this. We, as financial advisors, spend a lot of time helping people plan for their retirement, plan for and transition into retirement. We've been doing that for 20-some years as a firm. Thousands of people help them plan for and transition into
which
retirement.
Which is to not work.
To not work. And not to say. And I'm not there to tell someone what their retirement should look like. Everyone's got their own idea of retirement. It's just get to the point in life where work is an option, not an obligation.
And if you had to leave your employer, you could.
Yeah.
Because you had the economic resources to do so.
Yeah, work's an option, not an obligation. So what I found peculiar about this, here are people that are planning on quitting their job for good.
That aren't using.
Not working for good. Yet, if I look at this, almost half of people don't take all their vacation every year, their paid vacation. And those that do take the vacation, 61% of them do some work on vacation. So if you're trying to one figure if retirement is really right for you.
Take the paid vacation first.
Maybe take a couple of weeks off. And I found it, Pat, I know you've had the same sort of experience over the years. You talk to someone who just retired and 3 weeks into it, 5 weeks into it, they say they've never had this much time off. Right.
They struggle with it.
Well, absolutely, because you've never taken off 3 weeks or 5 weeks in a row.
Yeah. So the idea.
I've never taken off 3 or 5 weeks in a row.
The idea is to kind of get a taste of it.
Ideally, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
To get an idea of what your retirement should look like. But yeah. When you look at so many people don't bother taking all of their vacation.
What do we do at work? You made me think. We make you take some time off, and then
not the productive ones. We can't do it without you, Bill. You got too much going on right now. You're way too valuable.
So, and Hanson McClain, we're small. We would be considered in the U.S.
Yeah, we have 75 employees.
We'd be considered a small business.
Yeah.
In the backbone of the American economy, the drivers of growth.
Yeah. Okay.
So we have, and some of them, we have a whole host of people that are celebrating their 20th year.
Yeah,
with us. Now, at least we've only been in business.
How long have we been in? Second 20th anniversary is this year, yes.
Oh, 22nd.
Not counting us.
It's 22 years.
22 years in business.
Okay,
22
so we've
years.
Had
but
a couple.
You have a number of people in the next couple of years that'll be 20 years with us, yes. Where are we going with this?
And always looking for good people to work at Hanson McClain.
Absolutely. That's actually true.
So what do we do with these? We make them take, I think we only pay one week out, or we only roll 1 week forward? I don't remember.
I don't know if we roll any forward. Also, I do know that we
want people to take the time off. I can tell you that.
I think it's healthy to take time off, and I think it's healthy to have time off without working. And so we encourage our people at Hanson McClain, when you go out on vacation, leave the laptop behind.
Yeah.
Now, there are times when you're in the midst of something and you've got a trip planned somewhere and you've got
to
get a trip. So if someone's got 4 weeks vacation and one of the weeks they're doing some sort of work, that's kind of how my life is. But I personally try to take a couple weeks off during the year where I don't work at all.
I'm not very good. I don't check in.
I turn off my email. I try not 2 weeks in a row, but I try to have a couple of those.
I try a couple of days in a row to not bother the people.
But retirement, if you're one of those that struggles with a week off.
Yeah, retirement may be difficult.
Retirement may not be the best thing for you.
Which reminds me of a story. I was talking to a friend of mine. He owns some sort of manufacturing company, and I asked him, how many people work there? And he said about
50%. 50%. You'd think a manufacturing company, they could actually, it's pretty easy to judge the output.
That's what his answer was. How many people work there? About 50%. So, yeah. Anyway.
If you're one of those, though, that you don't take all your vacation because maybe you just don't enjoy your work too much, it's still important to become retirement ready. Social Security Administration says that the majority of people that move into retirement do so at a date earlier than planned because of outside forces.
And sometimes it's a change in the structure inside of your organization. Sometimes it's health issues either for you or spouse or child or parent.
Yep.
Sometimes it's a death in a family. We have seen it all. Sometimes it's the company's relocating and you're 4 years away from retirement. You don't want to move to the heartland of America from sunny California or some other area. I've seen every one of them. In fact, I had a gentleman that retired. I don't know what happened. He just retired one day. It was really surprised me. He'd been a client for a number of years. So I meet with him and I said, why'd you retire? He said, they changed the management structure. I'm just not going to do it anymore. He said, I'm retired. Within 6 months, I asked him to go get a job. I said, this is not healthy for you. He said, do I need the money? I said, you're fine. You don't need the money. You're fine, but it's not good for you to retire because you're not treating yourself well. You need to get back to work. And he went back to work and he was happy because he went back to work the second time for a reason other than money.
That's right. Well, that's why I think it's important to get to the point where work's an option, not an obligation. And that's one of the reasons we're passionate about helping people plan for and transition to retirement. We realize everyone's retirement looks different. Most people retire at some point. They quit working for a variety of reasons. It's not always because they want to quit working either. It just happens. So that's why we are passionate about it. Anyway, we got to take a break. When we continue, we'll take some calls. Take your call if you want to be part of the program. 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. So stick around for some more Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Again, that's Hanson McLean's Money Matters and 1-888-2-HANSON. We'll be right back.
Are you questioning if the advice you receive from your stockbroker or financial advisor is best for you? If so, run it by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Simply visit their website at moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Planning, saving, and transitioning into retirement isn't as easy as it used to be. Interest rates are low, the financial markets are volatile, and pensions aren't what they used to be. Have you saved enough? Will your investments last you until your dying day? Are you on the right track? If you are asking yourself any of these questions, you could really benefit from meeting with the Hanson McLean Financial Advisor. At Hanson McLean Advisors, they use a unique 7 personal decision points process that can help you evaluate what steps you should be considering to keep you on a path to your ideal retirement. A meeting with one of their financial advisors will look at topics such as how much income your investments could produce, how to maximize Social Security benefits, methods to reduce income taxes, and more. So come into one of their Northern California offices to meet with one of their credentialed advisors and see how Hanson McLean Advisors may help get you to the place you want to be financially. The place you need to be financially. Contact Hanson McLean today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Want more advice on financial matters? Check out moneymatters.com, where you'll find information ranging from retirement to taxes to insurance to investments. All on moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, before we go back to the call, we'll talk here to Rebecca in a moment. But we've got some retirement workshops, our 7 personal decision points for retirement transition. And we've done this workshop. I think we've had several hundred people come to this workshop in Northern California just in the last few months that we've been doing these workshops. So had one not long ago, but we decided to put on some more because they seem to be very popular. So there are 7 personal decision points for retirement transition.
And you can see read about them on our website, moneymatters.com.
We're going to be in San Ramon, San Mateo, and San Jose. We stuck with the Sands, but that didn't. San Ramon on Tuesday, October the 6th. San Mateo, Wednesday, October the 7th. San Jose, Thursday, October the 8th. The workshop's at both 1 p.m. as well as 7 p.m. And
don't we have some coming up in Sacramento as well?
And on Sacramento, we do. Sacramento on October 27th, Sacramento, and October 28th in Roseville. And for complete information and to register, you do need to register. We don't charge for these at all, but you need to register. Just go to moneymatters.com.
And we have them, I'm sorry, Scott, moneymatters.com. We have them October 21st, I think, in Denver.
And October 21st in Denver. Look at all these things. And it'll be either myself or McLean doing them so you can see meet us personally. And it might even be both.
Wow.
You laughed at yourself. Hey, Pat McLean's coming.
Wow. No, so, or if you can't make it to the workshop, there is a short webinar on our website.
Yeah, but it's a short, it's not nearly.
And the 7 personal decision point is something that Scott, myself, and our company as a whole developed to walk people through the retirement transition process.
It's designed in 7 simple steps to think about. These are really the 7 questions that you need to get answered in your own mind before you transition into retirement, or to make sure that you're retirement ready. And so we break them down into 7 steps. So that way you can focus on, I'm going to work on these 2 things, or those 3 areas are fine. This one area I need to deal with. So our 7 personal decision points. And we do have a webinar, but we highly encourage the workshop because I think you'll learn a lot more at the workshop. And they are a workshop. It's not a free dinner at
Sizzler's, you know,
fancy steakhouse or something where we try to
Sizzler's
sell
Sizzler's is fancy.
We're not going to sell. By the way, we don't sell anything at these workshops at all.
It's so, just an introduction to our firm.
We'll sell an introduction to our firm, but we'll get this good workshop, and you're going to learn a lot while you're there. So that's kind of what it's
And whether you do it yourself or someone else does it or whether you're looking for an advisor, come. It's low key.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of good. It's actually outstanding.
It's good. All right, let's talk to Rebecca in San Francisco. Rebecca, thanks for joining us.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago I heard you talking to a man that lived, he was in his 40s, he lived in Arizona, and he asked if he should buy a house at his age. He had no down payment. So I am 58, and I live in San Francisco, and I would have a down payment, but I live in a rent-controlled apartment that I've been in for 20 years.
How long have you been in there, I'm sorry?
20 years.
Okay.
And I pay $1,000 a month for rent.
Don't tell your neighbors.
Yes.
So do you have, in your building, are there any apartments that have been turned over recently that are much higher rent?
Not recently, but I think the highest rent in my apartment is probably around $2,000.
Okay, so they're all pretty low still.
But on my street, they go for $35.
And what would, let's say your apartment was a condo, and you could buy just that condo rather than rent the apartment. What do you think that condo would sell for? $500,000? $400,000? $700,000? Any idea?
Probably $500,000.
Okay.
So you're wondering right now at 58, should you buy?
And or just keep my investments be invested in the market and bonds and things like different diverse.
So what you are is you're a beneficiary of legislation that actually is contrary to the property owner's best interest.
Of course.
Right.
That's all right, though. We all live within the rules that are given to us, right?
Right.
You've got a place that's $1,000 a month, but you said same street, it'd be $3,500 a month.
Is the landlord keeping the place up decent enough? I mean, if the sink clogs
not
up?
I mean, it's not bad, but no.
That's one of the challenges, right?
If he had to sell it, he might have a little bit of a hard time just because it needs work. It's a 1924 building.
And do you think you're going to live there forever?
Sometimes I think about going to another, living in Mexico or Ecuador or somewhere, because I'm an artist, so it's hard to, but I could stay here. I mean, I don't know how else I could stay here.
So if you were to buy, here's the thing, what you've got here is fantastic. And once you move out, it's gone.
Yes.
So if you were, and I like the way you're thinking, right? But so one way to think about it is if you were to buy a residential property, you don't necessarily have to live in it. You can buy a property and rent it out to somebody else.
But I think if I did that, it should be somewhere else because I can't
afford
it here.
That is correct.
Right.
That is correct. For what the prices are going for in most of the Bay Area, the yields that you're going to get on the rent, doesn't justify it. Now, people will say, well, look at how much property values go up. That is correct. If the property values continue to go up.
But nobody knows.
But no one knows that. So what
and
you
we
want
do
to
know,
do is,
what we do know is things don't go straight up forever. Obviously, it's a unique time in the Bay right now with the new technologies that are coming on and what's happening in downtown. It's really quite remarkable.
Well, it's not only the Bay. It's a lot of major cities. Boston, Seattle, San Francisco. Lots of major cities that are experiencing a significant tech boom, much like some cities experience significant real estate booms because of the mortgage industries. So in your situation, Rebecca, you would be crazy to move out of that and try to buy a place. You couldn't even get close to it.
I'm from Arizona. I thought I could buy something there, but I don't know. I'm not prone to being business wise that way.
You're an artist.
But I have about $250,000 in investments, but some of those are retirement accounts, and I would be penalized.
Correct.
So
So, and you're, how old are you? You said you're
58. I'll be 59.
Okay. And do you have any other pensions or any income coming in retirement other than this $250,000?
I don't. Okay. But my Social Security will be around, it's decent. It'll be around, I think, 22,000 something a month if I wait till 67.
And what was the source of this $250,000?
Some of it's me saving, and some of it was from my mother.
Okay. And how much did you earn last year, ballpark? Or what's an average year
for you? Around 60,000.
As an artist, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
That's actually really good for an artist.
I'm a commercial artist.
Okay. So. Well, that kind of makes a difference.
I would not recommend you buy a house.
I would anywhere. I would make sure that the portfolio.
For one thing, it's going to complicate your life.
Correct.
Yay!
And you just, and you
that's
just
what I wanted to hear.
And
every situation is, if you didn't have this rent control, because I talked to the call screen, write something on here, and I glance and I'm reading it, like I'm like I and I thought it was a 58-year-old artist living in San Francisco. I thought I was going to have the story of that your rent's now $4,000 a month and there's nowhere for you to live, right? Because those people too.
It's happening to a lot of.
I know, it's quite sad actually. It's what's really happening.
And I don't know. I might call back in a year and might say my landlord sold the building and I'm out. What do I do?
So you'll cross that bridge when you get there. Actually, I don't know how that works.
I don't either.
So,
it's complicated. It's not that simple. But.
Yeah. So here's what I would do. I would make sure that the portfolio of the $250,000it would be in what's called a moderate portfolio. So it's not overly aggressive. Would make sure that the cost that whoever's managing it is in line with what the industry costs are so that you're not being taken advantage of.
Right.
And
I would
then look at saying, well, how much income will this generate if need be at a certain point in time?
Okay.
But obviously, the longer you stay in that place, the better off you are, the more you continue
and
to save.
And the longer you defer Social Security. I mean, if you waited till age 70 for Social Security, if you continue to work till age 70, the nice thing about being an artist, you're not digging ditches, right? So,
I enjoy it. It's easy. I work at home. It's really lovely.
But if you didn't have this rent control, there's a good chance you wouldn't be able to afford.
What kind of art do you do? Painting or what do you?
There's no way. I design. You know, if you go in Target and you see framed wall art, or you go in Pier 1, and I design the art that goes in some of those, and then I design dinnerware.
Okay.
In retail, and any kind of product that has a pattern on it, I can do.
You know, I am so far from being an artist. I mean, I don't know how to. I'm not creative in the slightest, and I'm always a bit in awe of great artists or musicians that people have this other creative side of them. So, I don't think you're in awe of finance dudes, but
Rebecca, so here's what you want to do is make sure the portfolio is being properly managed and look to the reality is that if you lose that apartment at $1,000 a month, there's a good chance that you're not going to be able to continue to live in the Bay Area and retire comfortably. And I think you've actually come to that because you talk about Arizona and growing up there. And so those are just contingencies that you hope not to ever have to pull the plug on, but you can. Mm-hmm. Just make sure your money's doing everything it needs to do right now.
Right. Okay.
All righty.
Great advice. Yeah.
All right. We appreciate the call.
Yeah. Good.
And it turned out so much better than I thought it was going to.
I know,
yay. Okay, you take care.
All right, thanks, Rebecca. Of course, we'll get a call next week and find out her building burned to the ground or something. She's got
I don't know how it all works. So
I remember my wife
went into a Target last year. She's talking about doing stuff for Target. I went in.
When she did mention Target, I thought, is there any art? Because I don't.
I'm sure there's art in Target.
Art and some art, and I appreciate art, and it tends to kind of call me and bring out and can fascinate me. When I walk into Target or any department, any store like that, my blood pressure goes up, my mood goes down, and it's usually not a happy place for me.
She designs dinnerware.
My daughter
knew there was a job people designing dinnerware.
My daughter went back to college, a few weeks back, and my wife wanted me to go with her to go to the Target with my daughter and my wife to get the last bit odds and ends.
Did you go?
Heck no, I did that before, and it wasn't a good experience for anybody. And I said, don't you remember that last year? I don't think I was nice, but you can just tell it wasn't, it could be painful experiences.
That's when I went into the Target last is when I brought a kid to college.
Last time. I try to, nothing wrong with Target.
I say, my wife asked me if I wanted to sit in the car.
Yeah, it's a good wife.
Yeah, she is a good wife.
Yeah, would you like to? Okay, let's go. Honey, let's go shopping. You could sit in the car.
I think it might be more self-preservation.
You stay here. Stay. All right, anyway, I did appreciate that last call, Rebecca. Sounds sweet. All right, if you want to be part of the program, we have a question for us. You can call us at 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON. 888-242-6766. We're taking a quick break. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it's retirement readiness or investment allocation, tax planning or IRA rollovers, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, simply visit their website at moneymatters.com or call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Hanson McLean Advisors is dedicated to helping people make wise choices with their money. From the time Scott and Pat started the firm until today, they've been committed to see to it that people arrange their finances in such a manner as to provide some element of financial peace in their lives. All the financial professionals at Hanson McLean Advisors are credentialed and well-versed in areas that range from investments and risk management to taxes and debt reduction. The approach taken by Hanson McLean Advisors is one of financial planning, meaning the advisors take the time with each client to help map out a strategy before they offer any solutions. Their fee-based investment accounts are designed to be transparent and liquid, so you never have to guess what's going on under that hood. There are no commissions when products are changed or when rebalances take place, and there's a high level of communication, keeping you informed and up to date. With offices and meeting locations throughout Northern California, come and see how Hanson McLean Advisors can be a benefit to you. Contact them at 1-888-2-HANSON or at moneymatters.com.
Get a podcast of Hanson McLean's Money Matters delivered each week to your computer or mobile device. Simply visit moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
And Pat McLean, thanks for joining us this last half of the show. And we did appreciate that call with Rebecca. It's very... It's not very often that the finance guys interact with the artist.
What do you mean?
There's not very often that you interact with. Do you interact with artists very often?
Artist client I had for years. He moved to somewhere out of the country now, I think about it. At one time he wanted to talk.
Pretty accomplished, I assume.
Yeah, yeah. Sculptor type stuff. He wanted to talk about. Politics with me, and that's an area I never like going with anybody because, like, it's like, and he was extremely on the liberal side of things, which is fine. That's what,
yeah, what, yeah. No, I mean, that's so why it works.
I started talking, and I said, you "Want to know where I stood?" I said, "Let me." "If I was shopping for an artist, and some conservative Republican artist approached me, I probably wouldn't even want to bother seeing his works, just because." Expect artists to think a little bit differently. I said, but when you're looking for a finance guy or finance gal, you're probably not going to have quite as left-leaning political persuasion as yourself.
And what was his response?
He said, never mind. Sorry I brought it up.
That's a good point.
It was a good point. I thought so, too. And I meant that sincerely.
Yeah.
I mean.
But you could be socially whatever you want. As long as you want your advisor to be relatively fiscal conservative, I believe. You want him to be
With your money, you certainly do.
Well, you certainly want your advisor to be some form of capitalist, don't you?
I would hope. You don't want him redistributing your wealth to other people.
Right?
It's one thing if you want the government to do that. You don't want your financial advisor. What happened to my money? Oh, I thought it just saw some needs out there, so I went ahead and redistributed.
Actually, we should try that, the socialist advisory firm.
Where's your my account? I gave you $1 million. Well, redistributed it.
Look at the good you did.
They didn't have the same opportunities you had as a child, so we thought we would step in and make
it. And we're glad there's both, truly. So, I can make an argument for both sides of it.
Oh, absolutely.
So, enough of the political.
That's about as political as we're going to get. That's all you get. All right, so let's talk to 888-2-HANSON to join the program. We're talking to Deborah. Deborah, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi. So my question is, I recently retired. Well, actually, October 1st is my official retirement
date. Oh, congratulations.
All right, just coming around
Thank
the corner.
You.
Congrats.
Yes.
But you quit working, and you're getting paid out on vacation time, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing. I'm letting some of my vacation run out, and then I'll get paid for the remainder of it.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to go into a higher tax bracket. Because, you know, when you take the money, you get taxed. So my
And you're retiring from where?
The state of California.
Oh, okay. All righty.
So my question is, I have a Savings Plus program with a 401 and a 457. Now, I am allowed to leave it there, and they'll charge me a monthly fee, but I'm not allowed to add to it.
The fees there are low, by the way.
Yeah, they're like $1.50 a month.
Okay. So is most of your money in the stable value at the state of California?
What do you mean by that?
What are the investments in?
They are in 75% are in mid U.S. equity, and 25% is in the large U.S. equity.
75% in mid cap stocks?
Mm-hmm.
How did you pick these allocations?
A financial advisor at Golden One told me to do that.
Okay. Keep talking.
Sorry.
And I also have a money market that I have some money in.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How old are you?
I'm 58.
Okay. And what will your monthly pension be?
I think about $2,600 a month.
And will you be eligible for Social Security?
No.
Okay. And are you married?
No.
And what kind of debts do you have? Do you have a mortgage payment or any other debt you're servicing?
I have a mortgage payment, and as well as I have like about a $5,000 credit card debt.
And how much do you owe on your house?
I owe $166,000, but the thing is I modified my loan, so therefore I don't actually know what I owe on it.
Got it. Okay, so you have how much money in your 401k?
I have in my 401, I have 23, almost 24,000.
And how much do you have in your 457?
I have about 16.5.
Okay. And how much money do you have in your money market?
I have about 24,000.
Okay. And those are all the assets, right?
Correct.
Okay. And you're single. All right.
I'm single.
And what's your question for us?
My thing is what do I do with my 401 and 457?
So
how old are you? I'm sorry.
She said 58.
Okay.
So Deborah, I would step back for a second and try to figure out what you owe on that house.
Can I step back a little further?
Scott, she retired. So Deborah,
October 1st, your last.
Okay.
Day. Do you plan on working, continuing any sort of work?
I am. I have to. I'm too young.
Okay.
Really.
Thank you.
Okay. And then why did you? thank you.
I'm just sitting there going,
you were scaring us. Yeah. Why did you leave your job?
Well, because I started having health issues.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Now I'm feeling better. Not better that you have health issues. I'm just feeling.
No, because Scott and I are looking at each other saying she shouldn't have retired.
Yeah.
I know.
But you know that. So. What you obviously there was something in the work environment that caused you to move on, right?
Yeah.
That you felt it was better to preserve your own life than to trade it for this job.
Correct. I have over 30 years of state service, and I think I kind of played that out. You know what I mean?
Yep,
I'm
got
ready
it.
For
yep,
something
yep.
new.
Get that too. So right now, if you move these dollars to an IRA, which you could. Right, mm-hmm. You could transfer these accounts into one IRA, but if you do that, your money is going to be locked up until you're 59 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
well, that's what my 401 is going to be anyway.
If you retire after the age of 55.
So if you retire after the age of 55, mm-hmm. and you leave the money in the 401k, there's no restrictions on getting the money out of it. But the minute you move that 401k into an IRA, then you have to wait till 59 and a half.
Well, they told me that I could touch my 457 at the time of retirement,
uh-huh.
but my 401 I cannot touch.
Who told you that? The Savings Plus program. They're wrong.
They were wrong.
They're wrong. They're flat out wrong. Oh,
okay. Whoever you talk to is wrong. I'm sure they were friendly as they're reading the computer screen talking
on
the phone, but they're wrong.
Oh, okay. If you're age 55 or older in the year in which you separate from service, there are no restrictions on the withdrawal of a 401k. On a 457, it doesn't matter what your age is. You could retire when you're 35.
And they probably told you that.
And you could get at those. So I would leave both the 457 and the 401k where they're at.
Okay.
I would leave them both there. I would not have a 75% mid-cap strategy and a 25% large U.S. stock. I think that is reckless. I think that is ill-conceived. I think that that is ignorant. I just can't believe that someone would offer up that advice, regardless of the firm that gave it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is...
So what should I have? Should I have more in the large?
You know what? So you shouldn't have 100% of your portfolio in equities at the age of 58 with the possibility of actually using them sometime in the next 2 years. I think you should be on the more conservative side of the equation because you don't know whether you're going to need these monies.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in your situation, the most I'd have in equities is 40%.
Okay.
The most I'd have in equities is 40%. So... I'm flabbergasted that you received this kind of advice.
We both looked at each other.
Like, who's given this advice?
75% in mid-cap stocks.
Yeah, and
typically would have 15%, maybe.
Yeah. So anyway, so we've determined that was poor advice.
Okay.
And actually, you've gotten bad advice twice. One was completely wrong, and one was just based on some sort of a. I don't know how they base this. So you want the most you want is 40% in equities,
okay,
and 60% in bonds. And with that, I would actually, I don't know all the choices
well,
on.
I can move them. I could move them.
You
now,
absolutely but... can, and you want to, and you want to move them inside the 401k and 457, and you want to leave them there, and you don't want to roll them into an IRA, regardless of what an advisor tells you, because there's no benefit to you. To do so until after age 59 and a half, in which case it doesn't matter anymore.
Okay.
So reallocate the portfolio, 40% stocks, 60% bonds and cash.
Yeah, I'd be much more conservative right now.
All righty.
What's going on.
If you need to use a total market index and then even a money market or short-term bond for the bond portion of it. So appreciate the call.
Yeah, wish you well. Thanks for calling, Deborah.
All right, thank you.
So we need to take a quick break here if you want to join the program. 1-888-2-HANSEN. Got a question for us? Something going on in your financial life? Love to help you out. Again, the number to join the program, 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSEN. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Got a question? Visit moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Planning, saving, and transitioning into retirement isn't as easy as it used to be. Interest rates are low, the financial markets are volatile, and pensions aren't what they used to be. Have you saved enough? Will your investments last you until your dying day? Are you on the right track? If you are asking yourself any of these questions, you could really benefit from meeting with the Hanson McLean Financial Advisor. At Hanson McLean Advisors, they use a unique 7 personal decision points process that can help you evaluate what steps you should be considering to keep you on a path to your ideal retirement. A meeting with one of their financial advisors will look at topics such as how much income your investments could produce, how to maximize Social Security benefits, methods to reduce income taxes, and more. So come into one of their Northern California offices to meet with one of their credentialed advisors and see how Hanson McLean Advisors may help get you to the place you want to be financially. The place you need to be financially. Contact Hanson McLean today at 1-888-2-HANSEN or visit moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Advice without an agenda. It's back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Scott McLean, thanks for joining us.
Glad you are here with us on this fantastic weekend day. September the 26th weekend. Anyway, 888-2-HANSEN is our number to be part of the program. And let's talk with Paul. Paul, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Paul.
Taking the phone call.
You bet.
Just got some questions about allocation. What's going on with my mom?
Oh, hey, Paul. I hate to do this.
Are you in a windy spot?
It sounds like you are.
I'm on the Pacific Coast Highway. Just got off a bike.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that sounds pretty dang nice. Yeah. We're sitting in the studio working.
I got a tie on.
Yeah. Well, I'm just in Hawaii right now getting a massage.
These waves are so loud. So anyway, so your question.
That sounds funny. I'm on Pacific Coast Highway.
I'm trying to figure out what's a good allocation. My mom has just become a widow, and what I'm trying to understand is what's the right type of allocation. She's in her late 80s, owns the house outright. They probably have pensions, probably 60K a year, and they've got about 500K in IRA accounts. And I just wanted to figure out, she's probably going to outlive my dad by probably 7 to 10 years, I would imagine, and wanted to make sure she was set up appropriately from allocation for her.
And if she's probably like a traditional family where your father took care of all the finances?
Yep, pretty much.
And how involved do you think your mother will be in the allocations of the portfolio?
She's pretty trusting in that she would, she trusts, some certain people as far as what they can provide her for advice and such. So
How about with you? So here's the
thing. Does she have an advisor? Did your parents have an advisor they've been with?
Yeah, she does. And I looked at some of them, and some of my questions came with, I saw, stock and Google, Facebook, Microsoft, all, big companies. But, and then there's some things that are in some mutual funds as well.
Trying
to figure out what the right blend is.
Does it look like your father had kind of an old school stockbroker that paid commissions on buying stocks and kind of sold them the latest things and stuff?
Well, no, not so much the latest things. It was seemed pretty prudent.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to figure out what the right blend is.
Yeah.
The right mix.
So here's the difficult situation you're in, which is your mother probably trusts this advisor, and it's probably fine, right? It's probably fine. But you look at things and you're like, really, is this appropriate for mom to own Facebook or Google or whatever, XYZ company? But as long as it's not a large percentage of the firm, I don't think there's a whole lot of as long as it's not a large percentage of the portfolio, I don't think there's a whole lot of danger in holding those individual positions. The best thing you can do is to sit down with the advisor and your mom all in the same room and say, just give me the philosophy. Tell me how you're managing it, and what is my stock to bond ratio? In my stock, what is the portion that is international? How much is large? How much is mid? How much is small? And the advisor should know all of that for that individual portfolio. I would not encourage you to try to switch advisors.
Right. Yeah, no, that's not on the mind at all. I just wanted to understand the mix, and is it appropriate?
And the only way you're going to get there is to sit down with the advisor and your mom in the room together. Or if the advisor will sit down with you alone, your mother doesn't have to be there as long as he has the permission to talk about the portfolio, your mother's portfolio, because he can't share anything with your mom's portfolio unless your mother gives him permission.
Right. Okay.
And we don't know how big of a role your father played in this either.
Right. Yeah. He was, how would I say, I would say more conservative than most would be in how he invested. And when I saw some of the stocks in there, they're not a large amount, but I just didn't understand the right blend, if you will, or, what percent should be international, what should be a large cap, what should be, bonds, how that should all be put together.
There's not a textbook answer, but I guess you can get a textbook that would give you an answer, but there's no one answer. These are real personal decisions. So someone in their 80s, one could argue, well, wait a minute, look how old your mother is. She should be extremely conservative. Why have any risk at all at this age? But someone could also say, look, she's in her late 80s. She's not going to spend all these dollars in her lifetime. So some of these dollars clearly still have a long-term time horizon for them, so they could be more aggressively invested. So there's not, I mean, if it were my mother in her late 80s, I'd probably still have maybe 40% in equities.
Yeah, at least. I wouldn't see anything wrong because it's highly unlikely.
If she's got
your
income
mother
that's
gonna,
providing her
$60,000 a year. She's not probably even spending
gonna,
all that, right?
Okay, got it.
So these dollars aren't going to be spent. If somehow she ends up needing long-term care, there's a home that's got a bunch of equity in it, plus her pension income.
So even if the advisor had 60% equities at this age, it wouldn't bother me at all. It wouldn't even faze me, because the reality is maybe the advisor is taking more of a long-term view of these dollars. Maybe your father did too, realizing I'm not ever going to use them, so I should invest them as if it was my son or my daughter, whoever was going to inherit the dollars. Right?
Got it.
So timelines.
Okay. I don't think it would be. I think it'd probably be a good idea for you to visit with the advisor.
Without your mom in the room.
I'd get your mom's permission and just say, hey, look, I just want to understand this. I'm not trying to usurp your role. Because the best thing that could happen, frankly, Paul, is that the dollars are managed just fine. Your mom trusts this advisor. They can continue working together. Because if you suddenly say, hey, mom, I don't know this. And let's say it's not. If it's a high C or even a B, that's probably going to be better than trying to displace him with something new.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. Absolutely.
So I would just sit down with the advisor and just say, hey, we appreciate you working with my mom and dad. I don't want to change. I just want to understand. And if the advisor says it's 60% equities and this is why your dad managed it like that and why I managed it like that, I'd be fine with that. I mean, I have clients. I have a client that's in his late 70s and his portfolio is 80% equities. And every time I talk to him, he says, what do I care? I'm only going to live another 10 or 15 years and I'm never going to spend the money. So he said, I realized that over time, this kind of portfolio will give me the highest rate of return. And that is so much more that will go to my children. Is that textbook? You couldn't get further away from textbook. But at the same time, I have clients that are in their late 70s that have 20% of their portfolio in equities. So it just depends on the client.
Okay.
All right. So
all right, very
I'm
good.
Sorry we disturbed your motorcycle ride down Pacific. But tell me, I would enjoy it even more if you told me you were on a bicycle and not a motorcycle.
That's it. I am on a bicycle.
You're on a bicycle. Really? Now I'm really envious.
Are you really?
I am. Seriously, I'm actually doing some training for a longer ride for Wounded Warriors next
year. Oh, good for you.
Oh, nice.
So a couple weeks ago, I rode around Lake Tahoe.
Where are you fundraiser. On PCH?
Right now, down Southern California.
Whereabouts?
Just past San Luis Obispo.
Oh, beautiful. And how many days are you out on the ride? Are you?
I'm getting more jealous talking to this.
How many days are you out on the ride?
Well, today's the first day. I'm planning on doing 5 days of a ride down here now.
You're not married then?
Well, I am, and my wife is very supportive.
That is impressive. Well, listen, there is...
my wife let me do a biking trip earlier in the year.
I did one earlier this year in Phoenix for 5 days. My wife let me do it as well. What a beautiful place to ride, and be safe. Be safe.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you, guys. Thanks. Have a good day.
And your mother's glad to have you.
Oh, my gosh. Bicycle riding on...
You know, this call.
Wait, we're not going to talk about the portfolios.
No, we're not. No, I'm going to
tell you. Just dream about riding on the bicycle along the
Pacific.
Not
everyone wants to do that. Some would want to listen to the portfolio. This call reminds me. I have a good friend of mine lives in Atlanta. When the financial crisis hit in 2008, she called me all concerned about her mom's portfolio, right? Her mom was also widowed, been widowed about 3 years. I don't think her mother was quite this age. And she had some stockbroker at one of the big firms. She sent me the portfolio, and there were some holdings in there that were these products manufactured by the firms, right? Your classic work with the big firm. They sell you stuff that the big firm manufactures. These products that were, I don't even remember what they're called now. They were popular back in the day. They were garbage that the brokerage firms were creating. They create garbage products oftentimes.
Sometimes they create good products too.
You just need to understand the conflict of interest you have if your broker is one of the big firms that manufactures products. It's a conflict of interest. So I saw this portfolio, and there was like a 30% of her portfolio in these bond equivalents that had just tanked, did horribly, much worse than the bond market. I mean, 10 times as bad. Horrible, horrible. And so my first thought is these are horrible. But I also thought this is not the right time to sell this stuff in the financial crisis when there's really no market for these products. That's why the price is so low.
It's likely that a market will come back.
So the bigger discussion I had with my friend who was trying to help our mom out is the relationship that the family had had with this broker for the last 28 years or whatever. Long-term, long-standing relationship with this broker. Mom was comfortable with it. They lived in different states. And it was this thing. I was like, hey, here's the thing, Susie. If you tell your mom that this broker has done a bad job and you want to move it, you are now mom's financial advisor. And every time the comfort she had that was good enough for her husband for all these years, that's now gone. And you're it. And she says, well, how do I explain to my mom that? So I gave her a good story. And sure enough, I talked to her a year later. The crappy fixed income products went back up in price some, not back to where they.
And they stayed with the advisor?
They stayed with the advisor. It was, like I said, to Paul.
C student. Was it an A?
Correct.
Was it a B? But sometimes C is a degree. And
sometimes it's good. When you're dealing with your aging parents, sometimes it's not about accumulating as much wealth before you die.
Familiarity is key.
It's not necessarily about, hey, before we go, I want to remind you, we've got seminars, our 7 personal decision points for retirement transition coming up, and you need to be there. We've got 3 in the Bay Area in the first part of October, as well as in Sacramento, latter part of October, October 6th, 7th, and 8th in San Mateo, San Ramon, and San Jose. For more information, go to moneymatters.com. Again, moneymatters.com. You get all the information on the webinar, the seminars, 7 personal decision point seminars, and you can register. So go to the website, moneymatters.com. We're out of time. We'll see you next week. It's been great having you with us. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.
Hanson McLean Advisors is dedicated to helping people make wise choices with their money. From the time Scott and Pat started the firm until today, they've been committed to see to it that people arrange their finances in such a manner as to provide some element of financial peace in their lives. All the financial professionals at Hanson McLean Advisors are credentialed and well-versed in areas that range from investments and risk management to taxes and debt reduction. The approach taken by Hanson McLean Advisors is one of financial planning, meaning the advisors take the time with each client to help map out a strategy before they offer any solutions. Their fee-based investment accounts are designed to be transparent and liquid, so you never have to guess what's going on under that hood. There are no commissions when products are changed or when rebalances take place, and there's a high level of communication, keeping you informed and up to date. With offices and meeting locations throughout Northern California, come and see how Hanson McLean Advisors can be a benefit to you. Contact them at 1-888-2-HANSON or at moneymatters.com.
Hi everyone, this is John Coyne, producer of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Thanks for being one of our loyal podcast listeners. Did you know that you can still be on the show and have your financial questions answered? Simply go to moneymatters.com, click on the big orange button that says Ask Scott and Pat a Question. I'll personally contact you and schedule a time to have you on one of our upcoming shows. We can't wait to help you.